This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
John J. Gaines III joins me live in studio here at Studio A on Rose Hill Drive, and it is an honor to welcome you to the program. I was telling folks earlier at the top of the last hour that, you know, we have a lot of authors on and politicians and journalists, and occasionally I just like to have folks in here who I have met throughout my career, local people, very interesting people who wanted to have them in studio to chat, and you're on that list, and I'm truly, truly honored that you could come in and spend some time with us and talk for a little bit. Now, you are a Charlottesville native, right? You told me, was it 1937?
Yes, I was born in Charlottesville, March the 7th, 1937, at the University of Virginia Hospital. At that time, my mother could not have given birth to me at Martha Jefferson Hospital. However, presently, at the Martha Jefferson Hospital, there is an African-American serving on the board of directors, Ernest Edwards. So a lot of things have changed.
Yeah, absolutely. So you weren't your mother could not have gone to Martha Jefferson. They didn't allow African-Americans.
No, not at that time, I don't think.
And this is back when the University Hospital was just a small collection of buildings at the end of West, down the hill below East Range. This before they built the big white hospital there was built in 85, I think. So, and the one before that, I think, was 1960 or 65. That big brick thing across the street.
I so, just remember Hospital West.
Hospital West. There
right.
you go.
Okay.
Now, John, what neighborhood did you grow up in? What are some of your early memories?
I grew up in the 10th and Page Street area. And I presently reside on 9th Street at the home place where I grew up. I've seen a lot of changes during the years at that location.
Yeah. Let's talk about some of the, we talked before we went on the air about perhaps talking about maybe some of the highs and the lows of some of the things you've seen around Charlottesville. And I also want to let folks know that you were educated at Hampton University. You earned your master's degree at the University of Virginia. And you worked for over 40 years in the Charlottesville public school system, teacher, principal, an administrator. And now you serve today on a bunch of various community boards. A lot of experience as a community leader. Let's see if we can, and I'll just sort of let you talk, but I just want to open the door to maybe talking about some of the highs and lows and some of your memories growing up in Charlottesville.
Well, some of the high moments, one was graduating in 1953 from the city-county jointly operated Burley High School. I attended Jefferson High School 2 years. And then I graduated from Burley High School after attending 2 years. So the city may owe me 1 year of high school experience because I understand now youngsters attend high school for 5 years. But I only attended for four. And I would like to hear from some of those out there that attended Lane High School. And if they attended more than 4 years at that time in 53, from maybe 47 to 53 during that period of time.
Yeah, Lane, of course, down there, the original Lane was down near what's near the Lewis and Clark statue where that is. And then they moved out to where what's now the Albemarle County office building.
Yeah.
That was the last Lane High
That's
School.
That's the Lane I remember.
Yeah, right.
Well, people there like Tommy Theodos. When Burley Jefferson played their football games, always would look in the newspaper to see how Tommy made out because he was an outstanding running back for the Black Knights at that time. After graduating from Burley, I went on to attend Hampton Institute, which is now Hampton University. And Langston Hughes once wrote, quote, "Hampton is the most beautiful of Negro campuses, green and lovely, surrounded by inlets from the bay," end of quote. Those were words by the poet Langston Hughes.
Did you find it just as beautiful?
I did.
You enjoyed your time there?
I did. Those were some really beautiful years of my life. I enjoyed my stay at Hampton.
I believe that's also, you remember Rebecca McGinnis, of course, who was a school teacher at Jefferson for a long time, and she didn't pass away until just a few years ago. I think she was 108?
Somewhere around there.
Yeah, yeah. I think she also went to Hampton as well.
She was a graduate of Hampton Institute. And there are a number of Hampton graduates still in the community. After graduating from Hampton, I returned to Charlottesville to teach at the Jefferson Elementary School in 1958. That was the school I attended, so it was interesting to come back and be on the staff of Jefferson Elementary School. That certainly was a high point in my life, was my first full-time job, though I had a number of other jobs before going to Hampton. One in particular, well, there were quite a few. I carried the Daily Progress. I met a number of people. And at that time, I met Hardy Dillard, who was very influential at the university and the law school. I had an opportunity to meet him and his sons. They lived right at the end of my paper route on Oxford Road down in that area. So we would end up in the evening playing a game of football. I also had an opportunity to carry the Time Dispatch, and that was up around Wortland Street, 14th Street. Had an opportunity to meet a lot of interesting people there. Later that Buford Middle School is named after. I met Mrs. Buford. At that time, she was the principal of Clark School. I also had the opportunity to meet Dave Cook and his mother. Dave, as you probably know, is a graduate of the University of Virginia, who is an outstanding basketball player there. He taught in the Charlottesville school system, and he went on to be a successful businessman in the city of Charlottesville. Mr. Neal, never will forget, Mr. Neal lived on Wortland Street. He had a newsstand right near the University Theater. He was very interesting, really enjoyed Mr. Neal.
And his little shop had a bunch of candy, didn't it?
Yeah, candy.
I've interviewed some UVA alumni who remember, and even some kids like yourself who grew up in the area around the corner, and they remember going up to Mr. Neal's candy store, that's what they called it, and that he had a whole bunch of candy in there.
Yeah, well, I remember the funny books, comic books, because we didn't have the video games at that time, and comic books were really interesting. I also worked on Main Street at the Smith Bakery. That was located up near Pretty's Funeral Home. That was not far from 10th and Main Street, up in that area. Had the opportunity to meet one of the, probably the best baker to ever come to Charlottesville. And his name was Scott. And I can't think of Mr. Scott's first name. But I enjoyed working there. And then I worked at the university cafeteria.
Up on the UVA corner. You worked for Cleve Weber, I guess?
Mr. Weber, yeah. Mr. Cooley. Those were familiar names. Another high point for me growing up in my later years in Charlottesville was the birth of my first child. In 1961, I have three grown children, and fortunately, all three of my children had an opportunity and did earn their undergraduate degrees. My daughter from Mary Baldwin, my oldest son from Hampton Institute, and my youngest son from the University of Virginia. Receiving my master's degree in public school administration from the university in 1965 certainly was a high point. Walking down the lawn was something I will always remember. Becoming principal of Jefferson Elementary School in 1971, and at that time it was an all sixth grade school. Jefferson served all the youngsters that lived in the city of Charlottesville, all sixth grade. I think during the time that I was principal there, we had about 600 students. It was a large school.
600 sixth graders, my goodness.
Yeah, it was a lot of sixth graders. another high point was home ownership. My first wife and I were very fortunate in having a home on Hodman's Mill Road that's right off Ridge Street. And one of the things I remember about Hodman's Mill Road, the city was very much interested in building public housing at the end of Ridge Street. And that was defeated, and they later moved to another site. The birth of my grandson, Jonathan, certainly it was a wonderful moment for me. Jonathan went on to do his undergraduate work at Georgia Tech and Morehouse. He did a joint degree there. And he's presently enrolled in the graduate school at Virginia Tech.
Wow, so good for him. That's
have
terrific.
Connections with Virginia Tech and Virginia.
There you go. My guest is John J. Gaines III, a Charlottesville native who worked for over 40 years in the Charlottesville public school system as teacher, principal, and administrator. And we are enjoying his take on the highs and lows of his memories here in Charlottesville.
Seeing an African-American being appointed head of the emergency department at the University of Virginia certainly ranks with the highs as far as my memory. The appointment of an African-American as the head of the athletic department at UVA, and the appointment of an African-American as head basketball coach, those stand out in my mind. Charlottesville Public Schools hiring African-American assistant superintendents and presently a superintendent. Basically, that stands up because my uncle, Booker T. Reeves, was the first African-American assistant superintendent in the city of Charlottesville, and he served briefly as superintendent of Charlottesville Public Schools. There was a period when a superintendent left and one had not been appointed.
So he was sort of an interim.
He was doing the interim as superintendent. This you probably never heard of, Silas Green from New Orleans. I will always remember the minister shows that came to Charlottesville at Washington Park. One in particular, and that was Silas Green. They had the dancing girls, the clowns, It was the whole 10 yards, and they did a parade during that time in Charlottesville.
And so they'd set up under a big tent at Washington Park?
Yeah. The opportunity to see Willie Mays play. Willie Mays came and played in Charlottesville at Lane Field when he was stationed at Fort Eustis. Also had the opportunity to see Arthur Ashe play over at the university when I was in high school. Another opportunity, and this was not just a few years ago, a year ago, was to see the Godfather of Soul down on the pavilion, James Brown, who performed here before he passed. To see African-American mayors in chairs of the school board, the first African-American mayor, Charles Barber, served the city of Charlottesville. The naming of the street in honor of Roosevelt Brown, who's in the NFL Football Hall of Fame, was a native of Charlottesville. And he was at Jefferson during the time that I attended and had an opportunity to see him play. And another player, have to mention his name, Jack Bryce, was one of the best halfbacks in the state of Virginia or in the nation. They played at Washington Park, incidentally. Jefferson School had to play their home games at Washington Park, and the basketball games were played at Washington Park in what was known as the Barn. The Barn has been reconstructed at the park, but a smaller version of it. A biggie for me is my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ allowing me to regain my health and strength after having three battles with cancer and a heart attack. Thankful for that. can't forget to mention a supportive family, friends and foes. One of the things that I had growing up was a very supportive family, aunts, uncles, neighbors. You just had all the support that one could ask for. And lastly, I don't want to forget naming Paul Harris, seeing Paul being named to the elected to the General Assembly. Now, there were some low moments.
Why don't we do that after this break?
Okay.
We're talking with John Gaines, a native of Charlottesville and my friend, and I'm honored that he is here in the studio. He is remembering the highs and the lows of his life here in Charlottesville, some of his memories he's so graciously sharing with us. We're going to take a break here at the bottom of the hour for local news and weather, and we'll continue with John on the other side.
You're listening to the podcast of Charlottesville Right Now with Poi Barefoot. Podcasting of the show is made available by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network.
And we're back, 5:37 on the clock on the wall. My name is Coy Barefoot, and this is Charlottesville Right Now. News Radio 1070 WINA. Happy, happy Monday to you and yours. A beautiful, beautiful Monday. We are blessed to be here. Thanks for joining me. Let's continue our conversation with John J. Gaines III. He has joined us live in studio, Charlottesville native, and worked for over 40 years in the Charlottesville public school system as teacher, principal, administrator, proud parent of three, and the proud grandfather of three, born right here in Charlottesville at University of Virginia Hospital in 1937. And John, you are sharing sort of the highs and the lows of your memories of growing up in Charlottesville. And in the last half hour, we recounted many of the highs. Tell us about some of the lows.
Oh, sure. Number one on my list, and not necessarily in this order, but when I was a teenager, my father, walking home from work one night, was attacked by some thugs, and this was during the early 50s. I was glad Daddy didn't have a weapon with him that evening. Secondly, being forced to ride on the back of the bus, I really couldn't understand as a very young individual why I had to go to the back of the bus. Parents being forced to pay at that time what was called poll tax. For a number of years before one could vote or be eligible to vote, they had to pay a poll tax. Next on my list, and this was really interesting, when I decided to try to attend the University of Virginia, there was this dean I spoke to, and I never forget him. I won't mention a name, but he asked me, why did I want to attend the university? Why didn't I attend Virginia State? And that was really a low. Another low was seeing university students that were attacked by locals. another low, the young people that have attacked people on the mall lately. And in my neighborhood, gunshots. Frequently, not as frequent as in the past, but occasionally you will hear gunshots. Poor student achievement and the drugs. And lastly, these are national lows that have occurred during my lifetime. One, 9/11, another being the assassination of Kennedy and King. Those were some of the, or just a few of the low moments that I have experienced growing up and living in Charlottesville.
John, let me ask you, you referenced these kids who are, and we assume they're kids, who are attacking these people on the mall, certainly more prevalent in the summer when school is out. You hear a lot more about it. But you worked in the schools here for 41 years. Certainly, you would be somebody that personally I would look towards for some solid advice about understanding what's going on with these kids and perhaps some advice about what we as a community can do about it, not just a school solution or a family solution. I personally think there should be a community solution. I mean, it's all of our challenge here and something to think about. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, one of the things, Charlottesville has curfew laws, and I really think the city should enforce the curfew laws, spend some of the money that we would go or may be planning to spend on surveillance cameras and employing some individuals that could provide supervision to these youngsters that are out on the street late at night. Secondly, parents really have a responsibility in this area. A parent should know where their youngster is at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning. So there's some parental responsibility. Those are just two things that come to mind.
Right.
The surveillance cameras, I think the money can be spent in better ways than $300,000 going for cameras. I would like to see some of that money go toward educating inmates over at the Joint Security Complex. Many of these that are at the complex are there because we have failed them in the education system. And I've known a number of individuals to receive their GEDs while being at the complex. So I think there are other ways to use those funds.
We're talking with John Gaines, a Charlottesville native born right here at the University of Virginia Hospital in 1937. Do you have any particular key memories of the civil rights era in Charlottesville? And I just plead ignorance. I wasn't born until 1966. So any key moments that stick out in your mind personally remembering that time here in Charlottesville?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked. One in particular, on 9th Street, I had a neighbor, and her name was Virginia Jones Carrington, and she lived across the street from where I resided. Many of the civil rights attorneys would come to her home place and meet. At that time, they couldn't go to the Holiday Inn or the Marriott, so they would camp out there. I remember seeing Oliver Hill, Samuel Tucker, and other civil rights attorneys that would meet at her residence. She was a very active individual African-American in the community.
I've interviewed Virginius Thornton, who was the first African-American graduate student at the University of Virginia, and he led the protest against the University Movie Theater on the corner in 1961. And I don't know if you remember that that protest, but I remember Mr. Thornton telling me that they never were really afraid. There were always police out there as they were marching. They marched for 3 days. But he does remember occasionally some local Charlottesville kids would drive by and throw beer cans out their window and try to hit them as they were over there on the sidewalk.
Yeah, I remember some of the civil rights activists being attacked, especially at a spot that you may be familiar with called Buddy's.
Sure, yeah.
It was located down on
Buddy Glover's restaurant.
On 29,
yeah.
So there were some attacks against active civil rights activists at that time.
Were you down there at the time, or you just remember hearing about it?
I just remember hearing about it. I was not there.
Yeah. I think Mr. Glover, who, if I'm not mistaken, has since passed away, but I think I know that he closed his restaurant rather than have to integrate. He closed his restaurant, which had been open for decades. He closed in protest. And actually, his restaurant, he told me, was one of the places where the school kids met during Massive Resistance. They actually met in the basement of his restaurant. Some of the classes were held. Do you remember what? Well, of course you do. What are your memories of Massive Resistance? Were you teaching at that time? Were you still in school?
Yeah, I was at Jefferson. Jefferson was not closed for a long period of time. I think maybe a week the school closed and we reopened. So I was not affected by that as an employee. I don't have, you know, for me, Jefferson was an outstanding school. So I don't have any negative memories about working or attending Jefferson. Not that many, anyway. I have some. Won't share them this afternoon. But everything was not just honey when I was a student at Jefferson. I do remember people in the community talking about schools being closed. I was busy working. I was teaching, and I was also waiting tables at night. So I didn't have a lot of time.
You had two jobs?
I had two jobs.
As a Charlottesville school teacher?
Yeah.
You had to work at night to...
Yeah, to survive. Teachers at that time didn't earn that much. I probably made more during the season waiting tables than I did teaching school. So
I think there's some teachers now that would say they're not even paid that much.
Well, I'm sure there are, and that's unfortunate when you think about football coaches making close to $2 million and teachers not being paid that well.
Enough to buy a home. Yeah, it's ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, it tells us where we place our priorities.
John Gaines is a native of Charlottesville, born at the University of Virginia Hospital in 1937. It's been a real thrill for me to have you stop by today. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks for inviting me. I enjoyed participating.
This interview will be archived in its entirety on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network at sevillepodcast.com.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit sevillepodcast.com for more.